You are listening to The Changing Dragon, Exploring Opportunities in China, an insights report from Fullerton Fund Management. China is the world's second largest economy, bond market and equity market, yet its importance seems underrepresented in investors' portfolios. This paper examines the historical performance of China's equities and bonds, and highlights the potential alpha that global investors could reap if they invest in Chinese assets. According to a November 2019 report by the Economist Intelligence Unit, nearly 90% of its survey respondents prefer to have a so-called dedicated allocation to China-specific assets, meaning that the exposure is deliberately China-specific and not dictated by regional or emerging market allocations in an index. Why does this make sense for international investors for such dedicated allocations? For some context, China's bonds were first added into the Bloomberg Barclays Global Aggregate Index in April 2019, and by November 2020, with full inclusion, will comprise around 6% of the index. The Chinese yuan will become the fourth largest index component after the US dollar, the euro, and the Japanese yen. More recently, a phased inclusion of Chinese government bonds into JP Morgan's emerging market indices started on the 28th of February 2020, with an additional 1% weighting per month, until a terminal weight of 10% is reached. Driven by the inclusion, JP Morgan analysts have predicted that around $20 billion in additional funds may flow into the Chinese bond market by the end of 2020. Inclusion into fixed income indices has boosted capital inflows into China. Since the first quarter of 2019, China's bond market has grown by $1.8 trillion, while international investor holdings of Chinese bonds increased by more than 20%, by around $50 billion, overtaking Japan and making it the second largest bond market in the world behind the US. Similarly, China's weight in key global benchmark equity indices has also been rising, but it has been a slow process from a very low base weight. Since late last year, the MSCI inclusion factor for China's A shares reached 20%, giving it a weight of 4.1% in the MSCI Emerging Market Equity Index. Encouragingly, when China achieves full MSCI inclusion, its domestic share markets will have a weight of around 18% in the MSCI Emerging Market Index. Drawing on the experiences of South Korea and Taiwan, full inclusion of China's A shares in the MSCI Emerging Market Equity Indices could take another 3 to 5 years, at least. Despite China's weight in global investment indices rising over recent periods, it is still relatively low considering the global importance of China's capital markets and China's large share of global trade, especially global GDP. As China continues to rebalance its economy more towards domestic demand, its share of global trade may remain flat, but its share of global economic activity will continue to trend higher. Given the scale of China's capital markets, its foreign ownership stakes are very low, with just 2.2% of bond holdings and 3% of equities. Low participation creates first-mover advantages for investors considering a China exposure. For example, adding Chinese bonds to a portfolio of developed market bonds can be a rewarding strategy before index inclusion advances too far and correlations with developed markets rise. Furthermore, there is evidence that China's household holdings of equities are also low compared to other markets, which creates opportunities for both foreign investors and fund managers. With such a low base of foreign participation, China's policymakers are constantly seeking ways to encourage more foreign investment. For example, there are significant tax advantages for foreign investors. In the onshore Chinese government bond market, they are currently exempted from income tax and value-added tax on capital gains, as well as on coupon income. All of these factors create opportunities for active fund managers who can seek alpha from a thorough fundamentals-driven asset selection process to take up dedicated positions in Chinese assets than to follow their allocation according to indices. A scan of actively managed China A-shared strategies in Mercer's Global Investment Manager database shows that the medium active manager generated 5.2% in gross excess returns over the last 12 months, relative to the MSCI China A index. As of March 2020, upper quartile managers generated very strong excess returns, some 12.2% over the 12-month period, while even lower quartile managers were able to generate up to 4.4% in excess returns. Evidently, having an onshore research presence can play a key role in the early discovery of growth sectors and companies to invest in across China's economic value chain. An active security selection is also important because China's corporate governance standards are still improving. In the past, well-publicized fraud cases, such as Luckin Coffee, have hurt foreign investor confidence. While China's transparency and governance still has some way to go to reach developed market standards, China's policymakers are pushing forward with reforms. For example, China's Securities Regulatory Commission published a new code on corporate governance in 2018, which makes audit committees mandatory and provides better safeguards for minority shareholders. Reporting standards for China A-listed equities have been made more stringent, and in many ways are now more onerous than Hong Kong's listed equities. Next, we talk about the diversification appeal of Chinese assets to international investors. The onshore Chinese bond market exhibits very low correlations to major bond and equity markets, increasing its appeal to international investors looking to diversify from their core asset classes. The low correlation is a reflection of small foreign ownership and the fact that China's business cycle is very different to other major economies. Another reason for this is that before the COVID-19 crisis this year, China's GDP growth had never fallen since 1976. China's growth has been out of phase with the rest of the world, in part because of the rise of its middle-class spending, and because China's policy objectives are quite different from developed market countries. China places significant importance on improving the quality of its growth over time and tries to strike a balance between greater development and poverty reduction. China's policymakers are also focused on opening the financial sector and rebalancing the economy away from trade and towards services. While China's equity market correlations with global markets have been rising over time, they are still modest. A key reason China's equity correlations are much higher than bonds is because a common link between equity markets is earning growth, and China makes a significant contribution to global GDP growth, and therefore to the cycle in global earnings. That said, investing in China A equities gives some diversification away from developed markets, such as the US, the UK, Europe, and Japan, especially over longer-term periods. Let's explore Chinese assets as a valuable source of alpha. As China's markets continue to grow, they will ultimately become key pillars of the global investment space. China's sovereign fundamentals, in particular, are very strong for the following reasons. 1. The country has a high national savings rate. 2. Its sovereign debt is less than 60% of GDP. 3. China is a net external creditor to the world. And 4. The Chinese economy is increasingly powered by domestic consumption rather than exports. As China rebalances itself away from its dependence on heavy industries and pushes to be a global leader in high-tech sectors under its Made in China 2025 plan, spending on R&D from electronics to science is growing. With the government's focus on healthcare as both a social priority and a strategic objective, Chinese pharmaceuticals industry has become a world leader and a major market for health-related multinational companies. Numerous studies have estimated that China's share of global middle-class consumption has increased to just behind the US. E-commerce in particular is highlighted as being more significant in China than in the US. China is a global technology and innovation hub and is much more integrated with global financial markets, industry, and trade than many other countries. Technology and e-commerce giants such as Tencent and Alibaba are recognized today as global leaders and innovators in their field. As China's middle class continues to rise in its importance, it is not just consumption-linked investments that can do very well, but also investments linked to banks and insurance companies. China's middle class drives stronger demand for financial products and retirement-linked investing. From the China Position Survey by the EIU, investment managers were most excited about China's rising position as a global leader in IT, technological development, and innovation, in areas such as artificial intelligence and robotics. This segment was judged by almost 60% of respondents as a key investment pull factor, most likely to attract new investment flows into China, followed closely by financial services and new economy services such as healthcare, education, and renewable energy. What all these mean for investors is that China provides opportunities to access higher value-added consumer sectors with stronger brands and market share, as well as global leaders in technology, e-commerce, and healthcare. China's nominal bond yields are also more favorable compared to similar-sized bond markets, such as Japan, which has a similar credit rating, and to the much larger US market. This performance gap is likely to widen as developed market yields have fallen further with the COVID-19-driven recession. Based on the trend in China's historical government bond returns, Chinese bonds should remain attractive to investors seeking solid risk rewards, and with a desire to diversify away from the developed markets. Indeed, China's government bonds at most horizons have outperformed the UK and Europe with similar or lower volatility over various periods. While the yield on Chinese bonds is higher than yields across developed market countries, there is less advantage in comparison to emerging market debt. China's fixed income can be a good substitute for emerging market debt because of China's stronger fundamentals, given its sovereign wealth and low government debt-to-GDP ratio, its low correlations with global markets, and the likelihood of a favorable risk-reward balance. Given sound balance sheets and access to funding channels, we believe that China's investment-grade credit is well-placed to continue to outperform Asian investment-grade and emerging market investment-grade credit, with potentially similar or lower volatility. China's investment-grade credit has also been a very competitive substitute to US high-yield credit. Its 10-year relative underperformance is marginal, but with much lower return volatility. While China's investment grade outperformed US high yield at 3 and 5-year holding horizons, China's investment grade credit could continue to give investors developed market high yield-like returns, but with only investment grade credit risk. Investors need to remain selective as default rates will rise significantly with the COVID-19-driven recession. But China's high-yield credit could continue to outperform Asian and emerging market high-yield credit as China's recovery in demand growth seems more advanced. Across the suite of China's fixed income, other potential alpha opportunities include duration, curve, and sector selection. The 5-year to 10-year rate duration buckets should be key beneficiaries of continuing bond index inclusions. Caution is warranted on duration outside this range, given supply headwinds to come with large fiscal boost expected in fiscal year 2020. From the sector perspective, Chinese policy bank bonds, which are fully owned by the Chinese government, offer an attractive yield pickup over equivalent Chinese government bonds. Liquidity is also better, given that the stock of policy bank bonds is comparable to that of the China government bond market. In addition, offshore investors enjoy a 3-year tax exemption until November 2021. Which makes the case for investing in bank policy bonds even more compelling. As China continues to liberalize foreign access to its onshore bond markets, hedging alternatives via derivatives will also become more accessible. Currently, foreign exchange hedging via FX forwards is available to foreign investors. Access to interest rate derivatives, particularly bond futures, will be more gradual as the Chinese policymakers favour foreign investments via cash bonds rather than by synthetic replication using derivatives. As the onshore bond market and the credit rating industry further develops, we foresee greater credit differentiation amongst the onshore credits. We expect liquidity and default risks to persist amongst the smaller, privately owned enterprises, especially as the global recession unfolds. Therefore, in this environment, Chinese state-owned enterprises and larger, fundamentally strong, private-owned enterprises may give better risk-adjusted rewards. The latter also stands to benefit from policy support and better access to diversified funding channels. What about for equity investors? Our analysis of China's historical returns shows that China MSCI has outperformed MSCI Asia ex Japan across all time periods with similar volatility. Over the last 3 years, China's equity returns are higher than developed market equities, but the volatility is also higher. We believe that to stay ahead, equity investors need to remain nimble to take advantage of shifting conditions. When trying to consider investment opportunities, it is often difficult to find macro variables that give a reasonable signal on equity market performance. A more micro perspective dictates that earnings growth, tax regimes, valuation, liquidity, and sentiment are all critical drivers of equity returns. From the macro perspective, what seems to matter to Chinese equity market performance is conditions over its 3-year business cycle, as reflected in measures of the output gap, essentially the demand growth relative to supply, rather than the GDP growth rate, per se. Encouragingly, China seems to have contained the spread of the COVID-19 virus, and the sudden stop in its economic activity has reversed as factories have returned to work and restored their capacity. China seems well placed to lead the global recovery, while the rest of Asia, the US, and Europe will lag. The recovery will create buying opportunities. However, investors will still have to be cautious and selective, given the risk that the post-COVID-19 environment is fundamentally different from before. There will be potentially less globalization and more social distancing, resulting in lower spending on tourism and discretionary retail, and more spending on utilities, healthcare, technology, and consumer staples. With the rising importance of China's domestic demand, the economy is flexible enough to meet the changing needs of consumers. sophisticated online shopping networks, and innovative technologies will make significant contributions to working from home and social distancing. For example, China's 5G rollout will immediately create the world's largest 5G network, ahead of the US. As healthcare spending becomes much more important to the global economy, China's pharmaceutical industry is well positioned to extend its global market share. The very low global yield environment, especially as key developed market central banks pursue QE-based stimulus, could prove supportive to China's bond returns. Through this global recession and recovery, China's equities could continue to outperform other countries as its domestic demand rebounds. While China may lead the global recovery, geopolitical risks have increased significantly. With China drafting the national security legislation for Hong Kong, the US judges that Hong Kong has lost autonomy and should now be treated under US law the same as mainland China. Travel will be impacted in that Hong Kong citizens may now have to apply for visas to enter the US on the same basis as Chinese citizens. In addition, the US has also said that it will remove Hong Kong's preferential trading status. China has threatened countermeasures against the US. This latest deterioration in US-China relations is very concerning and creates significant uncertainties for investors, especially those considering making greater allocations to China or Hong Kong. As a result, even as China's markets have performed well this year, investors are likely to pause and wait for more clarity on how US-China relations will unfold. If the US is now going to treat Hong Kong like any other large city in China, credit rating agencies may also need to change their assessments, as Hong Kong's sovereign rating is above that of China. Equity index providers may also have to reconsider their classifications, as Hong Kong is in the MSCI World Index, with developed markets, while China is in the Emerging Markets Index. Should Hong Kong be reclassified as an emerging market, just like Shanghai and Shenzhen, then a significant amount of capital in Hong Kong would have to leave. With the deterioration in US-China relations, it becomes increasingly important for China to capitalize on its longer-term Belt and Road Initiative and the strength of its supply chains domestically and across Asia. Looking beyond greater geopolitical risks, as China continues to liberalize its financial markets and rebalance its economy more towards services, its risk-adjusted equity investment returns should become more appealing to longer-term investors. With the benefit of an ongoing economic rebalancing, if China's equity market returns can become less business cycle or output gap-centric, then longer-term returns can improve, and more importantly, volatility can fall. This recording is based on information available at the time the report is prepared, and is for your information only. This recording is presented to you by Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 2003126 72W, and is provided for information only. The information contained shall not be copied, reproduced, modified, translated, or distributed without the prior approval of Fullerton. No offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fuller or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. Any past performance, prediction, or forecast is not indicative of future or likely performance. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates, and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of the information in this recording. Thank you for listening. To read or download this full publication, or for more of Fullerton's market update and insights, visit our website at fullertonfund.com.